Romeo, India Whiskey. See if I've got the frequency right here. Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I do. The main purpose of TechNet is education. The people who have curiosity about wireless equipment gather here and teach each other what they've learned by way of their hands-on experience of building rigs and setting up antennas and testing out propagation and doing DX and so on. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. The TechNet is in its 37th year, started back in 1980. Obviously, we must be filling some kind of a need. Otherwise, it wouldn't have lasted as long under essentially one leadership. The TechNet is broken up into three sections. The first section, people sign in because they do have a question or a comment for the net. To give us their call letters, the name, and the word yes, meaning they do have a question or a comment. You need not sign in just because you're listening. After 37 years, we believe somebody is listening. The second section of the TechNet is run by Dr. Roy, AC2GS, in which he gives us the mailbag and science talk. The third section, let me drop. The third section is run by Paul, WS2N, who gives us a space report. And he's got a photograph he's going to be sharing with us tonight that he took of a launch from his home QTH. Okay, at this time we're going to take check-ins, so please give me your call letters and name. Try to remember to give me your name, because I'm so forgetful, and I like addressing people by name. Give me your call letters and name and the word yes if you do have a question or a comment for the net. K2RAW TechNet, we're listening.
K2OGB, Craig, yes, and Vic, you're dropping out quite a lot.
Yeah, I think you're saying that you're hearing clicking sounds in the background. Is that what you're saying, Craig?
Yeah, a lot of static.
Okay. Don't know. I think there's some extra noise going on at the repeater tonight. I'm putting out my normal amount of power. And yes, I'm hearing a lot of that clicking noise also. Oh well. We got Craig. Anyone else assigned in with a TechNet? Give me a call at his name right now.
KA2UGZ, J.
Haven't talked to you in a long time, Jay. Are you still working for the same organization that you and I once worked at?
35 years.
Sounds like you found a home. Now we're going to stay a while. So, we got Craig and Jay. Anyone else to sign into the TechNet? Give me your call letters and name right now.
John here with Cape Cod, Florida. I never got the email from the guy last week about he was explaining about the monologue. If he comes on, maybe he could elaborate and get in touch with him again.
John, give me your call letters again. Go ahead. John in Florida, please give me your call letters again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You got to let everything drop so it wouldn't key up. King Boy Alpha Golf Papa, King Bravo 2, Alpha.
Okay. What I got was King Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa, John from Florida. One last call. Anyone to sign into the TechNet because you do have a question or a comment? Please give me your call letters and name right now.
WA2CDL, Vic. I just want to make a quick test.
Go right ahead, Andy.
Okay, the test is, I'm doing it right now. I just want to hear something. I'm creating that static. I mean, what I mean by that is, I'm not creating it, it's the repeater's creating it. I'm just having it appear. All right, so, yeah, just to make sure, because I hope to get up there this week. I'm planning on it, to get up to the site and see what's going on. But it's not you, just to let you know. As you hear, it's the repeaters, and it's on me. So, apparently, we got some wind tonight, because it usually happens on windy days. So I just wanted to let you know. You're okay. That. My antenna is not on the tower. It's still down, so I'm limited to what I can hear. But it's not you. So that's why I came on. So we're going to hopefully take a look at this today and see what, I mean, this week. This week and see what's going on. All right, back to you.
Do you believe it's on the main repeater throughput, not one of the links? It's not a link that's creating the extra crackling noise. Andy?
All right. Do you hear my signal now? 1, 2, 3. Let me just take this off. Okay. You hear my signal now, how clean it is? You hear it's good?
My guess is you went through a link, and the links are quiet, but the main repeater is noisy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, see, it's absolutely clean. I hear nothing, just me. Through the repeater. So, just to let you know, so it's not that. Okay, so we have a couple of ideas, but, again, I got to get a hold of, and he already knows, the site manager, so we can look in the problem. But we're going to take care of it, finally.
Okay, Eddie. And yeah, there's a lot of crackling noise on my signal side. Okay, going over to Craig first. K2OGB, go right ahead, Craig. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
I have a comment on the crackling, Dick. M2EO.
And WS2N, a quick question to Andy about the repeater.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Andy, WA2CDL. Am I better off than, or anybody for that matter, going in on Eastern input? Or does that help? Would it be a clean signal like what you did?
You're going in which way right now, just so I know?
Western repeater, flat out.
Go, could you do me a favor? Could you go in east right now? Let's see how you sound.
Yeah, okay, let's see if I can turn the antenna. Yeah, it's going now. So, let me turn the antenna. Give me about 20 minutes.
I guess you must be on a beam. Okay. I'll just wait. Just, yeah, go in east. Go in east.
W2CDL to H1OR. I can directly go on the east frequency, which I'm on right now. You shouldn't hear any static on my transmission. Correct?
That's correct, Joe. You're nice and quiet. And my guess is Paul's going to be quite a bit quieter when he goes in from the east. Go ahead, Paul.
To our WWS2N, yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is in the, I got everything turned around. Should be okay.
Beautiful. Okay. Maybe I should aim my antennas to the east and go into the east also. But I'll stay here for a little while. Andy, any further comments?
No, you guys proved it. Okay, that's what I wanted to just check out. That's fine. We already have an idea what's going on, so we're just, we have to go up there and just fix it. Okay, continue. I'm going to sign because I got to go to work tomorrow and I got stuff to do. But you're okay. W8 to CDO.
M2EO.
M2EO, KQRSW, Great Rich. My guess is you've been hearing crackles all day today. Is that true?
Well, I wasn't listening all day. I was busy. But, it's terrible right now. The problem has been going on about a year. KMB knows about the problem because he always says to people, we have a problem on the repeater. But it's never been fixed. I really believe that the upcoming year, if they don't fix it by then, people ought to withhold their dues because we're not getting service. The money is not worth it if you can't use a repeater. That's all, Dick, M2EO. That's the way I feel.
Okay, that's a pretty strong opinion, one man's opinion. Okay, let's go over to Craig. K2OGB, K2RIW. Go ahead, Craig.
K2OGB, I have very less experience with this, but I would like to get some more information about it if possible. As a DJ, I have a wireless microphone, and I have it in a digital form. Now, I've been hearing recently that there's been some changes to allocations on the bands, like 500 and 600 megahertz. And I'm wondering if 900 and above are usually used for digital with wireless mics as well as 2.4 gigahertz. And by July of 2020, certain parts in the 600 have to cease operation by then.
So I'm not quite sure what your question is, Craig. So the FCC is changing allocations, is what I think you're saying, for broadcast channels. Go ahead.
Has anybody been getting word about this? It's kind of interesting to learn more about.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have Eric, GE2EJ, who kept track of everything that's going on in the FCC and the broadcast world. I'm trying to remember who else would really know an awful lot about that. Maybe Joe, W-H-2-R-Y-Y. Do you have any information on what Craig has asked? Over to you, Joe.
Not specifically, but you should check the rules of the FCC, because I think that those things are probably reassigned elsewhere, because operating above like 600 megahertz, this is all in now the range of this LTE 4G stuff, because it can go down that low, being that TV channel 36 is the highest TV channel in the country now. So everything above that is supposed to be assigned for 4G LTE stuff. So if your microphone operates in that frequency region, you probably better check about the rules and regulations. They don't, have any kind of issue with emitting emissions in work. I don't know if they're one of those microphones or you can re-frequency, can go higher than that or not, up to 900 megahertz. It's possible. But you really want to check the rules of that. I don't specifically know, but as I said, it's more web channel 36 than the last two channels. Sorry, these struck a couple months ago.
Yeah, I'm going to be off the air for about 30 seconds. I'm going to aim my antenna to the Eastern repeater and see if I can sound better. So stand by while I change my antenna.
I can go on the east also. I think there's no time delay between east and west. It's just the audio differential in levels. I'll repeat what I said. RF channel 36 is the last TV channel now that can legally broadcast. Anything above that has been removed from service. It's been now turned over to the cellular for 4G LTE type of operation. Because I have seen stuff on the spectrum analyzer for stuff moving lower. So if you had a wireless microphone operating at 500 or 600 meg, you're now broadcasting basically where the TV channels are currently occupying that part of the spectrum. You should really check rules and regulations. Probably the simplest thing to do would go quickly, probably related directly to the FCC as far as where you're allowed to use those things and where you can't use them.
I used to have a wireless mic that was somewhere around the 500 range, and it was preset for frequencies, but now I have a digital wireless mic, and it works in 2.6 gigahertz, and according to the manual, it's actually license-free worldwide, so I've got nothing to worry about, but nowadays it's harder to find a microphone that would be usable in those bands besides digital.
W-H-2-R-Y-Y. From years ago, I remember some of the frequencies I saw for wireless mic applications, whether analog or digital, was in the 600 to 700 megahertz block. Some was in that frequency domain. But I think all that stuff has been removed because it's now being occupied elsewhere across the country.
700 megahertz was and now they're doing the same with the 600 megahertz band.
Like I said, from RF channel 36, which is like 602, I think it's 602 to 608, is the highest TV channel that's going to be allowed to broadcast in the U.S. right now. Everything above that is all in the frequency domain of LTE, and that stuff goes up to about 750, 760, and then there's public safety frequency slots above that going up to about 806.
Okay, very good. Years ago, they introduced digital wireless mics that work 900 and above, and they stated you didn't have to worry about TV stations now or in the future, but I wonder if there's been any changes to the 900 megahertz band and above.
900, like 902 to 920 solar wireless band, and you're going to be in there mixed with everything else that they control in that part of the band. I think you'll find there's a lot of stuff up there. Maybe not, maybe, I don't know if it's quite as crowded as the 2.4 gig region, but you'll probably find a lot of stuff out there. If your stuff operates in a spread spectrum type of capability, it might be less immune to outside interference, but if it's digital on one specific frequency, you may have a problem.
China is a line 6, what is it? And it says it's in the 2.6 gigahertz range, and it's licensed free worldwide. KD2OGB.
2.6. Okay, I'm unfamiliar with that band. You may be very well correct on that. Back to net control.
See how I sound on the eastern input. Looks to me like I sound quite a bit better. Not less crackly, for sure. Any further questions there, Craig, for Joe? Because he's more in tune with what's going on in the broadcast world than many of us. K2OGB for any further kinds of questions. K2RIW in the second half.
One more, if there's also been any mods to the 400s, and sometimes restricted to that and higher. I don't think they can go any lower. And you're a little bit less audible, but you're very clear, Dick. Is there any changes?
I was never aware that wireless mics are allowed at 400 megahertz because all that stuff is military frequency space as well as government. 420's government, going below 406 down to like 380 is some various military applications, and definitely 380 down to 225 is military aircraft for, you know, in this country. I was never aware of a slot being opened up for wireless mics in 400 megahertz band. You may find stuff probably in the middle of the ham band, or you know, halfway in, like 433, 436. I've seen some wireless application stuff there. I don't know if it's totally legal to have the stuff actually operating or not, but I don't know about wireless microphones. But you're probably better off where you are. If you got something that's in a 2.6 gig frequency, you're probably not going to have too much of a problem with interference up there. I don't know what else occupies that particular frequency band right now in the U.S.
From what I've looked up, and it's actually like on the verge of 500 when I was asking about 400, like 495 probably. I've never seen a wireless mic go lower than that when I first saw something that maybe had that low of a frequency, but I could have probably misread it, but that's what I thought it said. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I looked it up, and 900 and 2.6 sometimes have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in there, I think, too.
And baby monitors and other various things, wireless network routers and things, you get all sorts of stuff in both of those bands. As far as I know, you know, the TV channel started at 470 megahertz, but they're not assigned in every part of the country because in many parts of the country, 470 to 488 or 494 is used by public service applications. Of what? Microphone slots being used there. I think the only ones that what I've ever heard of, like, is, well, like I said, was 600 to 700 megahertz. They had like a small group of frequencies. If they weren't being used by local television broadcasts, they would allow the wireless microphones to be used in that segment. But if you've got something that operates much higher, you're probably much safer that way.
Sounds good. And I think that pretty much covers everything. Now, the last thing is, I wonder what the future could be once, now that everything's out of 600 megahertz, where are they probably going to put all the rest of the wireless mics in?
I wouldn't know, but your best bet is Google is your friend. Go on Google, and it's your friend. You type in something, even if you don't even completely know what you're looking for, you start typing it in, and it's going to come back with some sort of answer. You'll have find loads and loads of stuff to read as it comes back to you. So you just take even a small guess of what you want to put in there, and it'll probably come up the right answer for you one way or the other. But I'm sure one way or another you're going to find eventually you'll hit an FCC site or something linked to an FCC site that'll give you some of the rules and regulations that are meant for wireless microphone usage.
Hey, sounds good. I do thank you guys for all the help and all the suggestions. Dick, take it away. K2RAW, KD2OGB.
Okay, Greg. I think you're saying my audio is lower when I'm going from the east as opposed to the west. Is that what you said earlier, Craig? Go ahead.
Bit lower in audio, but you're much clearer.
Okay, sounds like this is the right way to go. Next person who signed in was Jay. KA2OGV. I think it's KA2OGV, if I got you right, Jay. K2RIW. Go ahead with your question, sir.
Good evening, Dick. I did not have a question, and I'm only coming in through the western input right now as I'm heading east, so I may sound terrible. Back to net control, KTGZ.
Oh, you're sounding quite good. And you're close enough to the repeater that when the signal is strong enough, it overrides the crackly sounds. I was hoping you had a real question or comment. Can't you think of a question or a comment, Jay? Give it a try. What would you, Jay? Mobile, I think it's KA2OGV Mobile. And are you on the Northern State Parkway, K2RIW?
I was. I'm heading east now on the Southern State, just got up the Wantagh onto the Southern State. And it's Uniform Golf Zulu, KA2UGZ. I think I'll focus on the road and listen to the questions coming in, Dick. Thank you so much, KA2GZ.
Good thing you corrected me. And I had heard you as a Uniform Golf Victor instead of Uniform Golf Zulu. Okay, John, KB2, AGP. I think there was somebody promising you some information by way of the website, and I guess it didn't take place. I don't remember now who it was. Back to you, John, in Florida. KB2, Alpha Golf Papa. K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2YAW, no, I didn't hear him on. There was a communication about the analog and going through the computer to look at different frequencies and all that. Yeah, the fellow.
Echo Link, check in, please.
Okay, Echo Link, check in. Please give us your call letters and... Please give us your call letters and your name, sir. Echo and check in. Go ahead. K2RIW on the TechNet. My name is Dick.
My call sign is November 2 Victor Hotel Zulu. Very high Zeppelin. N2VHZ. My name is Ken. Kilo Echo November. Back to that control.
Okay, we got you, Ken. November 2 Victor Hotel Zulu. Do you have a question or comment for the net? If so, please proceed, Ken. You've got it, Ken.
Okay, very good, Dick. Nice to meet you again. It's been a very long time since I've spoken to you. Perhaps 20 years. I used to live in New Jersey. I lived in various locations. I used to listen to the net religiously every Sunday on my scanner and on a handheld, whatever I had going, back in the 90s. Since then, I've gone through three different careers. And here I am in Nebraska, and I'm hearing Dick, K2RIW, the rock, the bedrock of information in my world. Dick, you're a living legend. I talked about you all over the world, wherever I was deployed to the military. I talked you up. People into about radio. So anyway, with that said, I live in Nebraska now, and I live at 4,000 feet above sea level. Very interesting situation here. I'm going to direct this right at you, Dick, real quick. I hear a lot of tropo. I shouldn't say I hear a lot. I hear it occasionally. But I'm not able to participate in it. So I was a radio man for BNSF Railway. So we had some people I could call in the engineering department about the tropo dumping. They said the problem is it was discovered by the military that at 4,000 feet and above, it is not an option to be able to get into tropo, to get into the tropo event. Because you're at a height of altitude that I believe they call tropo deficiency. And 4,000 feet and above, it's no good at all. So even though I'm a big VA checker, Tropo does not take place out here. If it does, you can't get into it. I can hear it, but I can't get into it and transmit. Nobody hears me. I lie. Maybe once a year for a few minutes. But aside from that, nothing like you guys experience on the coast or anywhere else. So what do you think about that, Dick, being at 4,000 feet? Too high to participate in troposphere ducting. Back to you, Dick. K2RIW and 2BHD.
NY2H.
Okay, Lou, NY2H, go right ahead.
I think the you have two people on Echo Link. I think the guy in Florida wasn't finished when Ken came in. I think he kind of swamped him. Maybe you want to just make sure that you've finished up with him first. He's also on Echo Link.
Okay. Stand by a little bit there, Ken. John, Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. Looks like you got cut out, and maybe you didn't finish your question or comment. Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. K2RIW, you got it, John.
Okay, Dick, thank you. The other station, thank you for your help there. Dick, if that fella checks in anytime during the week, I don't know if you're on during the week or whatever, and about the guy with the analog, maybe you could jot down my email and give it to him if he's in, you know, chatting around and that during the week. King Bravo 2, Alpha Delta Papa John at AOL.com. Back to you, Dick.
Yeah, very fine, John. That is the email address you gave us last week. And I remember asking you the question, is there a dash or a space in between your call letters and John? And no, there wasn't. And do you remember the call letters of the man who promised you information? I'm trying to remember who that was now. Back to you, John. K2RIW.
No, unfortunately, I didn't, because he took down my call letters, or my email address, and I figured he would pass some information along, so I didn't jot down his call letters. I figured he might have checked in tonight, but I don't hear him on, and the conversation is totally different. I'm going to let you pick it back up with the fellow and out there 400 feet above sea level, and you can pick it up with him. We'll catch him in there one of the tech nights evenings, hopefully. And we'll be able to link up and maybe just send me that information. Back to net control. Team Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa.
Yeah, according to my notes last week, I got your call letters, your email address, but I wasn't smart enough to link your call letters with the other person we were talking to at the time. Could have been Dave, KB2MAR. Maybe that's who it was. Or KC1SAM. Would you recognize it? KC1SAM? It could have been him, or KB2MAR. Do either one of those sound familiar to you, John? Back to you, John.
The first one you mentioned, not the second one. I think the first one you mentioned.
Okay, so maybe you were linked up with Dave. Kilo Bravo 2. Mike Alfa Romeo. So hopefully he's somebody who signs on to the repeater periodically, and you two can get together. Also, you should be able to look him up on QRZ.com. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alfa Romeo. And maybe that way you can find his address, call letters, or whatever, and communicate with him. I'd give that a try, John. Back to you, John. K2RIW.
All right, Dick, give me the call letters one more time. I'm going to write it down now, and hopefully I could look this guy up, and maybe I could send him an email.
Yeah, very fine, John. I think you and he linked up last week. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alpha Romeo. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alpha Romeo. QSL, John?
Okay, I got it, King Bravo 2, Mike Papa Romeo.
Negative. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alpha Romeo. Mike Alpha Romeo. Try that again, John. Go ahead.
Hi, Dick. King Bravo 2, Mike, Frank, Romeo. Over.
Negative. Negative. You got it wrong again. The suffix is Mike, Alpha, Romeo. Mike, Arthur, Romeo. M-A-R. Mike, Arthur, Romeo. Try it again, John. Go ahead.
Okay, KB2MNR. Over.
Negative. Negative. You got it wrong again. The suffix, the three letters of the suffix are Mike, Alpha, Romeo. Mike, Alpha, Romeo. The middle letter is Arthur, Alpha, A. So, Mike, A, Romeo. M-A-R. Try it again, John. Go ahead.
America. America.
There you go. Mike, America, Romeo. Mike, America, Romeo. Try it again, John. Go ahead.
We got it that time. Mike, Alpha, Romeo. Thank you, guys. Back to net control.
EC2GF.
Did I hear something GF? Or was it DF? Give me the full call letters and name again. Go ahead.
Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. It's me, Roy.
Okay. Gotcha. Go ahead. This time, Roy. Go ahead, Roy.
I hate to give people bad news, but I'm at the QRZ page, and Gabe doesn't give his email address on that.
Oh, well. And your signal is going to be quite crackly. I'm hearing lots of crackles on your signal, and my signal is very crackly, too, when I was on the western input. I'm now using the eastern input. Okay, we're going to go back to Ken. November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. Go right ahead, Ken. KQRIW.
Okay, Dick, thank you for fitting me in. I'm out here in Nebraska, driving down the road. I'm on Echo Link on my hands-free device. I have no radio on my car because there are no repeaters. I'm in a very austere area where it's void of all amateur radio. And I am the only active VHF operator in the grid square, Delta November 82. DN82 is my grid, and I'm the only operator. When there is propagation, especially on 6, it causes pileups. So my question was, first it was my accolades and my thank you for still being on the air, having a tech net for more than 20 years. I'm a long-time listener and participant. Now I'm on Echo Link, and I'm enjoying it very much. It's not like it used to be, of course. It's a little different, but my question is, what's your opinion of being, somebody had told me, I have a lot of difficulty getting into any of the tropo. When I do hear, it's very rare, but I cannot seem to participate in it. I have one event that I was able to get about an 800-mile chit-chat with somebody, but aside from that, it's very difficult, and they said it's because we're at 4,000 feet above sea level, and that is considered tropo-deficient level. Now, that was done by the military because they wanted to use tropospheric dumping as a form of communication, but they said it's unreliable, especially at 4,000 feet and above, and that's where that measurement came from. What do you know about that, Dick? Back to you.
Okay, I'm not an expert on this, but I've got a lot of opinions, as I see it, Ken. The biggest thing that creates super refraction, in other words, a downward bending of the wave, so that the signal follows the Earth's curvature, that's what you're really looking for here. You'd like to have a high dielectric constant of the atmosphere down low and a low dielectric constant up high, in other words, moisture. As long as you've got a lot of moisture down low and drier air up high, the signal will have a downward bending phenomenon, and when that downward bending follows the Earth's curvature, the guy 600, 800 miles away sounds like he's in your backyard. The problem you've got, I don't think it's just because of 4,000 feet and above. I think it's because you're in an area of very dry, low humidity, particularly at your altitude. You don't have high humidity air down low, moist air down low, and dry air up high. That would give you very good forward propagated tropospheric scatter and also air mass bending, refractive index, super refraction they call it. So 4,000 feet is an aggravating factor because at 4,000 feet and above, the air tends to be dry. So I think the dryness of the air is a little bit more of a factor than the altitude. But the one sort of supports the other. That's my opinion on this one, Ken. As I said, I don't claim to be an expert, although in the case of... let me drop. In the case of super high frequencies, I also did an awful lot of work at 10 gigahertz. At 10 gigahertz, if you live within 200 miles of a seashore, like on the Atlantic coast, you have an opening every single day. Some portion of every 24-hour day, you have a band opening. When you are within 200 miles of a seashore, because of the moisture, because of the moist air coming off the sea and giving you this condition of moist air down low and drier air up high. So if you did become a 10-gig operator out there, I think you would have a little bit more tropo. Tropo tends to favor the higher frequencies, I believe. Again, a bunch of opinions. November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, KQRIW, the TechNet.
Everything you said is exactly correct. Once again, you hit the nail on the head, Dick. Yes, that's exactly how it is. We go down to days where we have 1, 2% humidity, you know, because I live in the Sandhills. It's a very large desert area, the High Plains. Very, very dry. You're exactly correct. And I lived also in Oriental North Carolina, which some people listening may know. Is I lived 20 feet from the salt water, from the ocean. And I lived 2 feet above sea level. And every day when I look back at my log, I miss those days for ham radio operating because I made such beautiful contacts and all. Excellent place to live on the ocean for radio operating. You know, and it's exactly as you say. Okay, my question that was burning deep down inside of me for many years has now been answered. And once again, Dick, I would like to thank you for your contribution to the amateur radio community. Back to that control, K2L, VHC. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Fine, interrupt you guys. This is KB2MAR. Someone was calling me before.
Yes, we were, Dave, KB2MAR. I think last week we had you hook up with John, Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. And you and he were going to trade back and forth email addresses in order to pass information. And John gave you his email address, and he was expecting an email from you by which he could get your email address. Well, maybe you want to give your email address to John. Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. john@aol.com is his email address. And he's waiting for some information from you based on the... he thinks that you and he should be trading information as of last week. So that's what's going on here, Dave. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alpha Romeo, K2RIW. You got it, Dave. Thank you. Once again, we got zero copy, Dave. Just one word here and there. So the signal is not coming through. So hopefully you're hearing me. Please send an email to John. Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa John at AOL.com. That's his email address as well as his call letters. Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa J-O-H-N at AOL.com. So please send him an email by which he can get your email address. QRZ on that, Dave. Kilo Bravo 2 Mike Alpha Romeo. K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2RIW, KB2MAR, QSL, I'll copy.
This time we copy very well, very well. So any other message you want to send to us, Dave, go ahead.
Just wondering, is John still on frequency? What is this in regards to? Because I don't think I spoke with John last weekend or the week before that. I don't know. Is it relating to the Southern District Net by any chance?
Right now, I'm not sure what the subject was. But I know that you and John were passing email addresses or going to pass email addresses back and forth because there was some kind of a trade of information that was going to take place. Right now, I don't remember the subject. Maybe John does. I'll see if John is on frequency. Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa. Are you there, John? K2RIW.
Yeah, Dick, I have to wait for the repeaters to drop. I'm hearing a couple of repeaters in the background. So that's why I'm taking dragging my feet. I don't want to step on the repeaters. The conversation went as this. It was about monologuing, looking at listening to different frequencies through the computer. The thing he talked about was like $100 to purchase something to use for like scanning, allow you to scan through the internet sort of thing. You could look up other repeaters, not simply for the tri-state. You can listen to other frequencies, being fire, police, and so on. That's the drift I got out of the conversation. The thing was like $100 something that he purchased, and it was tied into, I guess, the internet of the computer, and it opened up a broadband of all kinds of different frequencies to monitor.
It sounds like some form of accessory you add to a computer that allows you to do scanning and monitoring. That seems to be what we think the subject was, Dave. Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alpha Romeo. Does that make any sense? K2RIW. Over to you, Dave.
By the way, the name is Gabe George Alpha Bravo Echo. I don't remember speaking to John regarding something with a computer interface to hook up to buy a device that will convert from amateur radio to digital and things like that. I don't remember speaking with a weekend ago. No, I don't think so. Was it on this repeater? Well, I doubt it very much. Was it on another repeater?
AC2GS?
Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, Dick, I don't know for sure, but this is vaguely reminiscent. Last week, Rich W2BZ was talking about his RSP-1 software-defined radio that he bought for a little over $100. But the amount of money is about the only thing that strikes me as familiar. I mean, you know, he talked a lot about what he expects to do with it and all. I'm thinking maybe that's what John is alluding to?
You might be very right, Roy. Okay, so, John, we may have our signals crossed here. Maybe the person you're trying to hook up with is Rich, Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. To your knowledge, Roy, does Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu, does his QRZ.com give an email address? AC2GS, K2RIW.
I believe so. I could check it in a moment and get back to you.
So it's possible we've mixed up the QSOs, John. So maybe you were responding to the information that was being given to us by Rich, Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. John, does that sound a little bit more familiar? Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu?
Yes, Dick, the other station nailed it. That's what we're talking about. That's definitely what we were talking about, listening to, and I asked them to give me an email. I wanted to find more information about that item. So the other station definitely nailed it. I appreciate that. Back to you, Dick.
AC2GS?
Ahead, Roy.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rich doesn't post his email address on QRZ. What I would suggest John do, because if he didn't leave it out there for everyone to see, maybe he doesn't want to share it on the radio. So what I would suggest is that John can always email me. He could use the mailbag email, mailbag at ac2gs.com, and I'll give him Rich's email, and he can contact him. How's that?
Okay, let's see if John got all that. Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. John, do you need a repeat on what Roy just said? K2RIW? You've got it, John.
Yeah, I'll take the email address from Roy again. Nice and slow, because the repeater is very, very noisy tonight. It's almost taking out the modulation portion of the communication. So if you can give it nice and slow, and I'll copy it down, and I'll send him a test email that we hook up, and then we can go from there.
Okay, John, the email address is mailbag at ac2gs.com. That's my call sign. It's Alpha Charlie, numeral 2, Golf Sierra.com. So mailbag at ac2gs.com.
Hello, Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa. John, do you need a repeat on that? Did you get that email address? Over to you, John.
Okay, I got mailbag at ac2vs. Is that correct, over?
Very close, but no. Mailbag at Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. Golf Sierra. I think you said Victor Sierra. It's Golf Sierra. Over to you, John.
Okay. Mailbag at AC2GS. Over.
You've got it. AC2GS.com. AC2GS.com. You think you got the whole email address now, John? Over to you, John.
Mailbag at ac2gs.com, and his name is Roy. Over.
That's a roger. And Roy is a good friend of Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. So by way of you talking to Roy, you'll find Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu's email address, and therefore you can get the information you were looking for. So Roy's your contact. Okay, when it comes to Ken, November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, you go to his QRZ.com. He's got a beautiful website there with, a set of pictures of his ham station. And, let's see now. I'm trying to remember what his town is. Yeah, he's in Alliance, Nebraska. He's on a nice, high, dry mountain is the problem. So, very low humidity. He just, he said he has something like 5% humidity is what Ken says, and 5% humidity is very adverse to tropo. You need moist air down low to get good tropo propagation. And so, Ken, you're going to have to do something to squirt moisture into the atmosphere near you, which of course is impossible, or you're going to have to learn to live with very little tropo because of your very dry environment. And you've had a number of different occupations and a number of different QTHs. Do you intend to stay there in Alliance? Have you found a permanent home that you want to stay at Alliance, Nebraska? November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, K2RIW. YIW the TechNet.
Jacob YIW at 2VHZ. No, we're not going to stay here forever. But it seems like I'm good for 10 or 12 years at each location, so I'll be getting into the next sunspot cycle here. And then it'll be time to leave again. But I can only say, to defend your assertion, the facts that you give are spot on. You're exactly correct. When I lived near the ocean, it was beautiful in North Carolina. It was unbelievable looking at my old log. But yeah, I lived in Europe for quite a while, too, 20 years. I lived there before I was introduced to the TechNet and after I was introduced to the TechNet. So like after September 11th, 2001, I went back to Europe and lived there for about 8 or 9 years. And before that, I lived there for 10 years. And that is a place to live if you operate ham radio in Europe, because you have so many different countries. You're saturated with so much RF as far as amateur radio is concerned because of the different countries all communicating in English. All of it in English, the international language is very beautiful, and everybody has different call signs and different techniques and methods. It was just a beautiful experience to operate in Europe. But out here, I'm the only operator in the whole Bridgeford just about that's active. There's about a dozen of us, maybe 20 of us, but only one that's active on VHF, and that's me, Dick. So I wait for that, you know, that elusive 6-meter opening to happen so I can get some E-layer, you know, some E-layer skips. And I've gotten a couple of awards already since I lived out here. I've actually gotten first place being the only FM operator. I won with 1 point the division and the ARRL contest about a year and a half ago. So I got first place and hold the division record with 1 point as an FM operator. Back to you, Dick. I'm going to step out for a minute, Dick. K2RW and 2VHV.
I have the impression that you live in an area that's fairly sparse in population, particularly ham radio population, rather sparse. And so I guess that's you probably wish there were a lot more local hams. And for you to drum up a whole lot of local hams, that's not easy. That's what's required. Now, I'm going to change subjects. I've had a couple of emails on people having trouble with the details of the puzzle that I gave last week. The puzzle last week was an aqueduct. It was a water bridge. In other words, you had water at sea level going over a bridge, and the bridge, in my example, was going to have 6 million pounds of water. It was going to have 6 million pounds of water going over it, and the bridge was stressed for 7 million pounds. And in my example, we had a barge going over the bridge with 2 million pounds of gold bricks on the barge. And so the 2 million pounds added to the 6 million pounds of water, would that be 8 million total and exceed the rating of the bridge of 7? And the answer is no. The barge is displacing 2 million pounds of water by floating, and therefore the bridge doesn't know the difference until the barge sinks. And in order for the barge to float, because gold has a density of 19. Gold is 19 times heavier than water. The only way the barge can float is if there is 18 more spaces of air in the cargo hold of that barge. The barge can only float if for each cubic foot of gold nuggets, the barge is displacing 19 cubic feet of water. So it's got to be at least 18 cubic feet of air for each cubic feet of gold nuggets in that barge. And so as long as the barge is floating and it's dissipating and it's displacing 19 cubic feet of water for each cubic feet of gold bar, no problem. But when the barge sinks, those 18 cubic feet of extra space for each gold bar, those 18 cubic feet around the barge, in the cargo hold of the barge, gets filled up with water. The barge is no longer displacing 19 cubic feet of water per cubic foot of gold bar. Therefore, now you feel the full weight of the gold bars on the bottom of the bridge, and the bridge will fail. It's opposite of common sense. That's part of what makes it a good puzzle. And so Roy's going to have a puzzle for us tonight. But before I pass it over to Roy, let's make sure we haven't left out anybody who's got any further questions or comments on all of the above. Give me me a call, letters, and name right now if you want to make any further questions or comments. K2RIW in the TechNet. Okay, looks like nothing further, and so it's time we go over to Roy. And it's exactly the right time we should be doing that, too. So, Roy, with the mailbag, if there is one, and science puzzle, and science talk, and you do have a good puzzle tonight about coal. And I did a little research on that, so I won't answer right away. I think I know a little bit about what's going on in that one. Alpha Charlie 2, Golf Sierra, K2RIW. You got it, Roy.
Okay, Dick, thanks for turning it over to me. I am Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. Let me recite the links that are useful to people. If you have any mailbag questions for Dick, if you have any space report questions for Paul, if you have anything to write me, if you have topics that you want me to talk about, if you have puzzles that you would like me to take a look at, or YouTube videos that were interesting to you and you want to share them, whatever, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. It's my call sign. It's mailbag@alphacharlie2golfsierra.com. Everything that I talk about, and there's a picture that Paul is going to mention in his space report, will be available on my link page, which is roy.ac2gs.com. So you just type in your browser URL text window, roy.ac2gs.com, and you'll get the links. Also, we maintain a nice little chat room, a small group of us. You can get there by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com. And for sometimes when people don't have access to the radio or the Echo Link, if you need an audio stream, and we have four people who are listening on the audio stream that I generate from my shack, you can just point your browser at technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll land you right on a little audio player, and you can listen to the audio stream just as I hear it. So those are the links. Let me drop, and I'll move on to the puzzle of the night. Okay, last week's discussion about trees and what they do and how they do it went rather well. So let's give trees another chance this week. About 90% of just about all the coal that we have today that we know of seems to come from the same exact geological era. It's called the Carboniferous era. It was only a 60 million year span from approximately 360 million years ago to 300 million years ago. So I was wondering if anyone has any ideas of the most believed theory of why almost all the coal came from this single 60 million year period over 300 million years ago and not from any other time. So that's the puzzle for tonight, guys. What do you think?
VDH with a comment?
VDH.
I would just take a guess and say higher carbon dioxide levels at that time caused more plant growth, which led to more layers of plant decomposition matter, which led to more coal.
Okay, that makes sense. It kind of begs the question, what happened 360 million years ago that there was a lot of carbon dioxide in the air to produce that? But it's a good theory. Anyone else with any kind of theories of what might be causing this kind of big bump in fossil fuels? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Think about it. It's basically coal is a fossil fuel. It's pretty much very similar to the other fossil fuels in that you know it takes a large collection of carbon from the environment.